Let me tell you of the days of high adventure.
I must not fear, and fear is the mind killer.
Have no fear. Doc Savage is here.
Cobwebs and Leather.
Welcome to Cobwebs and Leather. I am your host, Frank Ormond. As always, reading and reviewing and discussing some of my favorite works in the history of science fiction and fantasy. Maybe one day I'll branch out into horror, but until then, that's what we've got. So you've probably seen the title. I am very excited about today's episode. The main reason being, Conan the Barbarian, or Conan the Cimmerian, is one of the greatest characters in fiction, period. Robert E. Howard invented Conan for Weird Tales, basically publishing, I think, most of the stories in Weird Tales. The story today was published in 1934 and was spread out and serialized in Weird Tales. A fun fact that they do note on the Wikipedia for it, Howard earned $250 for this story. Doesn't sound like much. Better than some people are getting today, I'll say that. So the story of the People of the Black Circle takes a little bit of explanation. If you're not familiar, Howard, similar to Tolkien, set his universe for Conan in an alternate history of the Earth. There are places that do exist that would exist later. For example, there's Afghulistan in this, which is Afghanistan. There's Vendhya, which is India. These are versions of a past history that do not exist in our world, but is a fantastical history that exists in Conan's. As such, it sets Conan up to being a pseudo-historical figure, similar to, say, like the elves in the Lord of the Rings series. They are set inside of a history in the past of our Earth. A lot of early 20th century fiction did this. It was common in fantasy and science fiction to set your universe in ours, just in an alternate past or an alternate future, that sort of thing. Conan is no different. That said, this is important because the Emperor of India, or Vendhya, sorry, is assassinated. He is killed by a curse. And when he's killed, his sister, Devi Yasmina, becomes the leader of Vendhya. As leader of Vendhya, she is in place to take revenge. She wants to kill the people who killed her brother. These are the titular People of the Black Circle, also called the Black Seers of Yimsha. So where is Conan? Where is Conan in all of this? Well, Conan is part of a tribe of Afghuli hillmen. I take that back. He's not just part of the tribe. He has become chief of a tribe of Afghuli hillmen. So leave it to Conan to become this chief of a tribe, wandering around the hills of Afghanistan, or in ancient Afghanistan. And he is in a situation, a political situation, where seven of his warriors have been caught. Yasmina's people, the Vendhyans, have captured seven of his people and have essentially set themselves up for a confrontation with Conan. Conan, being the responsible chief of this tribe, goes into the fortress where his men are, intent on either bargaining, helping them escape, or figuring out a way to get them out, regardless. That's Conan's goal. Now, obviously, the Devi, Yasmina, is right in the way of that. Now, I should mention, all of this is just the beginning of this story. This is a long story as far as some of the Conan stories go. It stretches out pretty far. Honestly, it's one of the best stories I've read from Howard. Conan is set in a situation where these evil magicians are trying to kill him. Likewise, he has kidnapped, and we'll get to that, he kidnaps Yasmina in order to exchange her for his men. So now her people are after him too. And on top of that, because he didn't get the seven prisoners out in time, his own tribe is after him too. So Conan is surrounded by enemies on all sides. It becomes a huge cat and mouse game with Conan fleeing with Yasmina in tow and at the same time, some weird magicians trying to kill him from far away. One of the things about this story that sticks with me is a camel hair vested man who pursues Conan throughout the story. He's always lurking there just past where you've seen the characters pass. So Conan and Yasmina will pass by something, they'll flee, and then he will show up shortly after in pursuit. This story is also really interesting because of Conan and Yasmina's relationship. Yasmina and Conan are interested in one another, attracted to one another, and realize that it would never work out. They are politically enemies. He is no one that would ever be inside of like an Indian palace. You'll find out later that he can become, or he will become, you know, king, but it's not of Vendhya. And Yasmina, for her part, getting into a relationship with the chieftain of a tribe of hillmen is probably not the best role for a new queen. So they do kiss, but they really do never meet up again. They separate and that's it. They say their goodbyes. It's bittersweet. You kind of want them to get back together, but they don't, at least not in Howard's stories. Sprague de Camp and Bjorn Nyberg will follow up with a novel where they meet up again, but it's basically fan fiction as far as I'm concerned. At that point, again, Conan has become King of Aquilonia. So, you know, politically they're distant, but romantically they can be engaged. So, having reviewed, given you sort of a synopsis of this story, allow me to read a passage from The People of the Black Circle. Now, again, this is a passage where Conan has come into the fortress attempting to find his men or find a means of getting his men out. Now he, you know, being resourceful, can either negotiate, can threaten, or he can do something to get his men out. So let's join this story right when it starts and see what happens. Chundershan, entering his chamber, closed the door and went to his table. There he took the letter he had been writing and tore it to bits. Scarcely had he finished when he heard something drop softly onto the parapet adjacent to the window. He looked up to see a figure loom briefly against the stars, and then a man dropped lightly into the room. The light glinted on a long sheen of steel in his hand. "Shh," he warned. "Don't make a noise, or I'll send the devil a henchman." The governor checked his motion towards the sword on the table. He was within reach of the yard-long Zyber knife that glittered in the intruder's fist, and he knew the desperate quickness of a hillman. The invader was a tall man, at once strong and supple. He was dressed like a hillman, but his dark features and blazing blue eyes did not match his garb. Chundershan had never seen a man like him. He was not an Easterner, but some barbarian from the West. But his aspect was as untamed and formidable as any of the hairy tribesmen who haunt the hills of Gulistan. "You come like a thief in the night," commented the governor, recovering some of his composure, although he remembered that there was no guard within call. Still, the hillman could not know that. "I climbed a bastion," snarled the intruder. "A guard thrust his head over the battlement in time for me to wrap it with my knife hilt." "You are Conan? Who else? You sent word into the hills that you wished for me to come and parley with you. Well, by Crom, I've come. Keep away from that table or I'll gut you." "I merely wish to seat myself," answered the governor, carefully sinking into the ivory chair, which he wheeled away from the table. Conan moved restlessly before him, glancing suspiciously at the door, thumbing the razor edge of his 3-foot knife. He did not walk like an Afghuli, and was bluntly direct where the East is subtle. "You have 7 of my men," he said abruptly. "You refused the ransom I offered. What the devil do you want?" "Let us discuss terms," answered Chundershan cautiously. "Terms?" There was a timbre of dangerous anger in his voice. "What do you mean? Haven't I offered you gold? Chundershan laughed. Gold? There is more gold in Peshkari than you ever saw. You're a liar, retorted Conan. I've seen the suck of the goldsmiths in Khorasan. Well, more than an Afghuli ever saw, amended Chundershan. And it is but a drop of all the treasure in Vendia. Why should we desire gold? It would be more to our advantage to hang these 7 thieves. Conan ripped out a sulphurous oath, and the long blade quivered in his grip as the muscles rose in ridges on his brown arm. I will split your head like a ripe melon. A wild blue flame flickered in the hillman's eyes, but Chundershan shrugged his shoulders, though keeping an eye on the keen steel. You can kill me easily, and probably escape over the wall afterward, but that would not save the 7 tribesmen. My men would surely hang them, and these men are headmen among the Afghulis. I know it, snarled Conan. The tribe is baying like wolves at my heel because I have not procured their release. Tell me in plain words what you want, because by Crom, if there's no other way, I'll raise a horde and lead it to the very gates of Peshkori. Looking at the man as he stood squarely, knife in fist and eyes glaring, Chundershan did not doubt that he was capable of it. The governor did not believe any hill horde could take Peshkori, but he did not wish a devastated countryside. There is a mission you must perform, he said, choosing his words with as much care as if they had been razors. There, Conan sprung back, wheeling to face the door at the same instant, lips asnarl. His barbarian ears had caught the quick tread of soft slippers outside the door. The next instant, the door was thrown open, and a slim silk robe form entered hastily, pulling the door shut, then stopping short at the sight of the hillman. Chundershan sprang up, his heart jumping into his mouth. Devi! He cried involuntarily, losing his head momentarily in his fright. Devi! It was like an explosive echo from the hillman's lips. Chundershan saw recognition and intent flame up in the fierce blue eyes. The governor shouted desperately and caught at his sword, but the hillman moved with the devastating speed of a hurricane. He sprang, knocked the governor sprawling with a savage blow of his knife hilt, swept up the astounded Devi in one brawny arm, and leapt for the window. Chundershan, struggling frantically to his feet, saw the man poise an instant on the sill in a flutter of silken skirts and white limbs that was his royal captive, and heard his fierce, exultant snarl, "Now dare to hang my men!" And then Conan leapt from the parapet and was gone. A wild scream floated back to the governor's ears. "Guard! Guard!" screamed the governor, struggling up and running drunkenly to the door. This passage sold me on the entire story. What can I say? It's such an amazing scene. So the Devi, Yasmina, she comes in during the meeting between Conan and the governor. She just happened to open the door the same time Conan was there, and Conan grabs her as an act to free his men. The idea being, I've got one of yours, you release mine. So Conan knew who she was, kind of. He calls her princess later. But the idea mainly being that Conan saw an opportunity and took it in the blink of an eye. He took advantage of a situation and flipped it so that he could get his 7 men out. Little does Conan know that there's a group of sorcerers trying to kill her and him now. So he's got this issue. But my gosh, does this story pick up from there? Everything about this story is interesting to me. The idea of magic being weird and evil and used by villains only. The fact that Yasmina isn't just some girl that needs to be saved. She's actually kidnapped by Conan and sort of kept around pretty much the whole story. The growth of the relationship between Conan and Yasmina is just an interesting story unto itself. But as with all Conan stories, Howard really, really kills it when it comes to the action and violence. Conan is a warrior, and he doesn't miss a beat to prove it. But beyond that, he's trying his best as chieftain to save his men, despite his men really not caring. You see, Conan is still a foreigner. Yes, he's a skilled warrior and a good chieftain, but he's still foreign to these people, and that's how they see him. This story is amazing, and I highly recommend it if you've never read it before to give it a read. And if you don't have time and you have, say, like a commute, throwing on an audiobook version is definitely worth your time. So, that was People of the Black Circle. Again, Robert E. Howard. If you do want to hear other stories, other reviews, other passages, consider following. Cobwebs and Leather is again hosted by myself, Frank Ormond. You can find me on Twitter, at Frank Ormond. You can also find me on a WordPress blog, Frank Ormond, and I do have an Instagram. Mostly pictures of books and meat that I cook on a fire, but if you like Conan, you'd probably like that too. So anyways, I hope you enjoyed, and please keep on reading. Take care.
Cobwebs and Leather.